Fine. Go ahead.
Get that us thing that we're cussing. Doing today is what we're talking about. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart.
Oh, my goodness.
Where?
I'm Kai Rizzo.
God
Thanks
willing.
For coming on. Oh, my goodness. Where, God willing, we make today make sense, right?
Exactly.
Let's see. Today's Wednesday. What do you want to know Wednesday? The day in the week where we get to answer the questions y'all send us. Questions, by the way, which come to us, as always, at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voicemail at our phone number, 508-827-6278. 508 UBSMART, UB Smart, which I kind of love.
Love it. All right, let's get to them. We got some voicemails indeed. Our first question today is about jobs.
Hi, jobs, my name is Liz Walters from Bonita, California. My question is, has there been any indication that reducing unemployment benefits has actually resulted in more people going to work in the economy? And Kai's remark about not wanting to be scared at horror movies, me either.
Yeah.
Which platform did you fly off of aircraft carriers, and how did that not make you just scared shitless? Oh, I'm a 23-year Navy veteran. Bye.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Amazing.
Well, let's take the yeah, it was good. Let's take the last part of it first. I flew E-2C Hawkeyes off the USS Theodore Roosevelt. For 3 years. I don't know how I wasn't scared, but it was just different. I'm telling you, it's just a different kind of scary. Apologies for the helicopter going over, and I think that's probably the sheriff's department. So I did that for a while, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it. Not scary at all, really. Okay, so on the whole jobs and unemployment thing, so a couple of things. Number one, because there are so many variables, there's no really good authoritative research on exactly whether getting rid of extended federal unemployment benefits gets people back to work, right? There was some research out of the Chicago Fed that said no. Kristen Schwab did a story for us last week about kind of maybe sort of, we don't know. The catch is there's childcare involved, there's virus fears involved, there's the kind of job involved, there's the worker empowerment thing that's going on right now involved. So we don't know. Mm-hmm. 26 states, 25 led by Republicans, one by a Democrat, have ended those federal unemployment benefits early. So that's a natural experiment, right? And we'll get more data on that in the next couple of weeks because they've been gone now for a couple of weeks. And then the rest mm-hmm. of the benefits expire in September. So we'll have some more data then. But the short answer is, we don't know yet because it's a multivariable problem is the short answer.
And there have been a couple of stories that seem to suggest that the states that ended these benefits early didn't see any more hiring mm-hmm. numerically, but they did see a little bit of a shuffle in who was working. So that because nobody was willing to go back to work for reasons of childcare and vaccine rates and so on and so forth, it sounds like places were hiring a lot of teenagers. And the places then, the states that got rid of that additional unemployment benefits saw fewer teenagers hired and more adult workers hired, but they did not see increased hiring overall. So that there might have been, and this is again, one very preliminary data point, but the fact is it sounds like most of the places that are seeing an increase in hiring, it correlates to higher vaccination rates.
Yep. All right, Peg in Seattle, go.
I was talking with a friend about data and Facebook the other day. She was a bit confused about how FB and Insta make their money. She wasn't as bad as Orrin Hatch, but still a little confused. And it got me wondering, do the social media make more from data sales or ad sales? And do they still make as much when my profile is pretty locked down?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that second part of that question. That last part of that question.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I looked up E2C Hawkeyes while you were talking earlier, and they are awesome. What's with that big weird dish on the top? What does that do? Is it like a communications plane?
The radar's in there. So the Hawkeye is an airborne command and control platform. Two guys in the front, three guys in the back. The radar dish is a Ray Dome. 6.5 revolutions per minute. I don't know why I remember that. so that's what it does. It's like an AWACS, but with a tail hook and propeller engines.
I mean, this thing is awesome. Okay, I'm back on track. So, back to the actual question at hand. First of all, Facebook and Instagram in particular don't sell your data. And this is a point that they are quick to make They make that point early and often. Facebook makes all of its money selling ads. There might be some, you know, like TV deals here and there or some, you know, this and that, like sponsorship or whatever. But it sells ads. And the way that Facebook uses your data to make money selling ads is through targeting and through the ability to sort of offer up your data for free to advertisers who want to spend money targeting you very, very precisely based on where you live and what you do and what you've looked at in the past and things that you've clicked on all over the web and stuff that you've bought. And I don't know what you mean when you say your profile is pretty locked down, but I can assure you it does not help. It might help. Yeah.
Well, can we back up to that? Also, maybe there is a lag today. I don't know. Breaking the fourth wall here. Molly and I were just slacking.
It seems like it.
There was a lag between where she is and where I am. Signal Path, for those of you who are curious about this, goes from my shed to downtown LA, and then it goes from Molly's garage rooftop thing, whatever, down to LA. So there's like, even with the speed of light, there's a little glitch in the internet. So they very publicly say they don't sell your data, but they are enabling others to get your data. Let me make sure I get this right. To use your data to more finely target you. So maybe they're not selling it, but they're giving it away.
Yeah,
no?
Exactly. They're making a ton of money on your data. It is, and I want to be like super clear about that. It is almost a distinction without a difference. And so it enables them to say very, you know, righteously, like, we never sell your data.
Right.
We just package it up into a wonderful dossier on you that has more information than you could ever possibly imagine. And PS includes information on all of your friends, very possibly people who don't even have Facebook accounts because you've interacted with them somewhere, and cookies let us follow them too. And they create this like beautiful package of super personal information and hand it to advertisers so that they can target you online. And that's how they make money.
Exactly.
And they make, to be clear, a super duper crap ton of money doing this. I believe
super
in
duper
the
crap ton. More than just a regular crap ton.
That's a technical term. In fact, I have Facebook's earnings. They just sent their earnings report now because they announced earnings. But because I'm not that fast at reading earnings reports, I'm going to just go here and type in Facebook earnings. So in Q1, they like hit a new record, right? We were just like, really?
Yep.
Wow. They, nothing that we've said or that people have said got through at all. And then this year, they beat earnings this quarter, as of earnings announced today, said they beat earnings expectations, but, and this is interesting, warned of a significant growth slowdown. And I don't know if that's related to expectations of regulation or what, but their revenue grew 56% year over year in the second quarter. So it's working.
Also, not for nothing, just from Techland, because that happened. Today and this afternoon. Both Google and Facebook said today, you want to come back to work in the office, you got to be vaccinated, which I just think is interesting.
That was big because Google, I think, had been, I thought, sort of a surprising holdout because they're such a libertarian company and Facebook the same.
Yeah.
And they were like, nope, no way.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's go to our next question. I don't think I addressed too much about do they still make money when your profile is pretty locked down, but the short version is, yeah, they definitely still do. Like, it's not as locked down as you want it to be. Our next question comes from Raj in Ohio.
We've always heard about Congressional Budget Office, but we have not heard anything about whether their predictions are actually true or whether their predictions come true. Can you make us smart about this? Is there any data on whether these have been checked and then finally found to be true or not? Thank you.
So the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, does analysis for the Congress on legislative proposals and a bunch of other random things that individual members ask it to do. But their primary function is scoring or evaluating big public policy legislation, tax bills. They will get a whack at the infrastructure bill that is grinding its way through Congress, and its impact on the federal budget. They do hundreds, if not thousands, of these things over the course of a single congressional term, 2 years. And so here's the deal. And they've actually looked at this. The CBO, and thank you, Marissa Carrera, has tended to slightly overestimate revenues, according to its own analysis, averages 1.2% overestimation for a budget year. For six-year revenue projections, it's almost 6% of an overestimation. That six-year thing is interesting because most budget projections that the Congress does are 10-year projections. And they say, and look, I get this, there are, for as many variables as there are with people going back to work, right, there are 11 bajillion more variables in the congressional budget cycle. Everything from the business cycle to what happens in the out years of any proposed legislation. I did talk to Keith Hall about 4 years ago, who was the then the Republican director of the Congressional Budget Office. And he said, look, we don't get everything right. We do the best we can. We have a staff of experts. We outsource some stuff. They're working on it. But look, here's the thing about the CBO, and to my mind, it's the best we got. It's the best we got. It was a long, hard-fought battle to get this thing done in the 70s. And honestly, now we'd be screwed without it, because then you'd have Congress just running wild and going, oh, no, this is going to, you know, pay for itself. And it's a $14 trillion tax cut. And that's where we'd be. And that would be bad.
And so the CBO comes in and backstops that, basically. A claim that Congress makes, CBO comes in and says, like, okay, hold on, let me do the numbers.
And then the really annoying part is that whichever party is out of power in the CBO, right, because the CBO director gets appointed by the leaders of the houses, the director gets pilloried by the out party, which then 2 years later, if the parties switch, the CBO director is the favorite person in the world. So it's a little bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. And Keith Hall and I talked about that a little bit. It's
I wondered about that. Was my next question was the politicization factor.
Because
if you don't like the number, then you just accuse the entire organization of being political that day.
Right. You bet. It's exactly what happened.
Good times. CBO's so HIPAA.
That's right.
Little meme moment.
That was a good joke. That was a good little meme thing. All right. Adnan in Florida has the last question today, and here is what's on his mind.
Are we in a tech bubble as it relates to exercise equipment? I've noticed over the last few years that more and more smart exercise devices have been coming out. And during the pandemic, it's just been a deluge on my Facebook feed of various devices. You know, there's the Peloton treadmill, a mirror that basically shows you the exercises that you can do in the mirror, and even a smart app-enabled punching bag. Is there a looming bubble on this where a lot of businesses will just go under?
I love this question. I love all these questions, by the way. Our audience is so smart.
These are good questions. These are great.
They really are. I'm going to start at the bottom, though, and just say that, Adnan, like, the ads that you're seeing are, in fact, your bubble. Just exactly what we were talking about earlier, right? Like, there are lots of people listening who don't think that there's an exercise equipment bubble because, like me, they're only getting ads for, like, face rollers and purses and stuff. But Adnan said he practices martial arts and he's searching for fitness equipment, so he is probably being served ads related to that. So that's a fun little nugget about bubbles that goes back to our previous answer. However, definitely though, like all that said, for sure, this is a huge thing that probably is going to end up in some sort of state of consolidation or collapse. Health and fitness equipment sales, thanks again, Marissa, grew 84% in 2020 from the previous year, according to NPD, because people went home. Yeah. They weren't allowed to go to gyms. Like people bought treadmills and stationary bikes mostly. And those numbers, by the way, don't even include these direct-to-consumer brands like Peloton and Mirror. So, yes, people are definitely buying them. Researchers say that sales are probably going to flatten in 2021, possibly because everybody already bought them, but that he thinks they'll be higher year over year, and that possibly it's not a bubble. Traffic at gyms is around 83% now of January 2020 levels, and it is very likely that people, if they actually manage to get into a rhythm of working out at home, and a lot of these things have subscription services that like can keep you motivated or give you a plan or whatever. If people got into those rhythms at home, they might really find it convenient. It's hard to say.
Random duck going here. Peloton is a $2 billion revenue company, which is kind of wild.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Well,
it's a lot of bikes.
It's a very expensive bike. also. They might be running kind of an Apple margin situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it costs a lot.
Yeah.
Which is why I bought the knockoff. Yeah. Yep. So we don't know, to be honest, the short answer, we don't know if it's a bubble. We'll only know if it bursts. But I got to imagine that at least some of these things are not going to continue to do quite as well. I don't know, though. I like working at home.
Yep.
All right, that's it for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. Thank you, everyone, for a banner day of questions. These are fantastic.
Great questions. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. God, we have a smart audience. We are so lucky. We are also lucky enough to get to come back tomorrow. So keep sending questions. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us a voicemail, which is totally working. Our number is 508-827-6278, also known as 508-UBSMART.
Got some tweet the other day from a guy who lives in the 508 area code. He's like, "That's so cool. That's my hometown." I was like, "That's cool."
What? Where is it? What town is it?
I don't even know. I don't know. I suppose it's knowable. Anyway, Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Liana Squilacci.
It's Massachusetts. Thanks, Internet.
All right.
Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, and we'll love them for it. Our senior producer is Bridget Potner.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.